As you know, these two verses are a part of a sermon that Jesus was giving to his followers. He had been preaching on righteous and unrighteous living, and how now he is bringing the listeners to a point of decision. He is presenting them with a choice. It's either the kingdom of God or the end of life in destruction, leading to destruction. Jesus is so clear with the truth, and the truth, reality, is there are only two choices. Not a bunch of choices, not a blending of choices, but only the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. Throughout the Old Testament, God often called his people to a decision, like in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. There in the wilderness, God called Israel to choose life or choose death, choose God or choose death. And Jesus often did this too. And in John chapter 6, verse 66 to 69, Jesus just finished a hard teaching. And some of those following him, they couldn't take it, and they abandoned him right there. They rejected his teaching. And Jesus turned to his disciples and asked them, "Will you too leave me now? Or are you going to take off on me?" God brings people to a decision point, two choices, God or hell. In our two verses this morning, Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, Jesus explains the two choices by speaking about two gates, two ways, two destinations, and two crowds. You know, the two gates, the narrow gate or the wide gate, no other gate. Two ways or roads, the hard way or the easy way, no middle way. Two destinations, to life or to destruction, no third option. Two crowds, the few or the many, no neutral group. As we go through these verses, I want to ask that you would be checking yourselves. We'd be checking ourselves, asking ourselves, what gate did I go through? What road am I actually living on? Is my life free from difficulty? If so, why? Am I a part of the few or part of the many? Am I heading for life or am I heading for destruction? So have those in your mind as we go through this. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a moment when we need to listen with your ears, for you to open our eyes and open our ears so that we truly do hear your word. Lord, I ask that you would guide us in. Guide us into your truth. Help us not to just sit here, but help us to truly listen, to take in your word. We invite your Holy Spirit to move in us for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Narrow, hard, life, few. Jesus is saying, listen, the right gate is the narrow one. Come, enter this one. This is an invitation. The Lord is inviting us into the right gate. And with an invitation, there has to be a personal stepping into the narrow gate. Not an admiring the gate, not a building your own gate, not a modifying or doing work on the gate, not talking about the gate, isn't that a nice gate over there, but receiving the gate. Here it is, enter. It's a gate that leads to life, the entry to life, eternal life, eternal fellowship with God, freedom, freedom from sin. The place of holiness, the gate to heaven. And this gate isn't a gate, one of many gates. This gate is the gate. And Jesus is the gate. He is the entrance to God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through me, the gate, through me. The only gate, the only access to God is Jesus Christ. Nothing else, no one else. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Everything has to do with Jesus Christ. We were not righteous. We are dead because of our sin. But as Titus 2, verse 14 says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Only through his life, death, and resurrection are we saved. He is the anointing sacrifice for our sins. That's 1 John 2, verse 2. Jesus took the Holy God's punishment for sin on himself for all God's children, so that when you believe in Jesus as Lord of your life and repent of your sin, your life of sin, then your sin is accredited to Jesus and is paid for by him. And then his righteousness is accredited to you. God sees you in Jesus, covered by him, and you are righteous, pure, and clean of sin. Jesus is the only gate, the only entrance to the holy throne of God, the only one who brings us into the family of God. Jesus is saying, enter through me, enter God's presence and family through faith and trust in me. You personally, you individually, actively need to enter. There is no becoming a born-again Christian by just going to church or going to a Christian school. There is no being born a Christian, or if your parents are Christians, that you're covered. You know, someday one of you might be very gracious and merciful to one of my sons because he's my son. But that type of thing does not happen with the Lord's salvation. No one receives salvation because their parents have received salvation. Everyone must enter on their own. Everyone must personally repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I prefer referring to myself as a worshiper of God because that is personal and active. I accepted Jesus and his gift of salvation, and as a result, I am worshiping God. Active, present tense, entered. I am a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Enter eternal life through Jesus. Enter the narrow gate. There are two different Greek words that are translated as narrow in this passage. And in verse 13, the Greek word translated narrow means restriction. Just like we have already talked about, salvation is restricted to Jesus Christ alone, through Jesus alone. And in verse 14, some translations say, small is the gate and narrow the road. The word describing the gate can mean small, narrow, or straight. And the word translated as narrow, narrow the road, the way is narrow, comes from the word tribulation and can mean hard, because almost every time it's referred to as persecution. So put this together, and verse 14 reads, the gate is restricted to Jesus, and once you have entered the way to heaven through Jesus, it gets hard. Living life in Christ is hard. This is confirmed by other scriptures. We are called to give up everything to the Lord and repent and believe and follow Him. We pay nothing for salvation, but salvation costs us everything, absolutely everything. The way of a disciple is the way of self-denial and joy in obedience to the Lord. There are defined boundaries and limitations for how we are to live. We are to leave everything behind. Sin, self-righteousness, self-ambition. One has to deny themselves and take up God's way. It's all on God's terms, not your terms and what you've come up with. Who cares what you've come up with? Listen to Matthew 16, verse 24 to 25. If anyone wishes to come after me, okay, come after Jesus, be forgiven through his work on the cross, be made righteous and become God's child. Yes, that's me. I want that. Okay. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, which is this willingness to die if necessary, and follow Jesus, lose myself, and know and define myself in Jesus, be all about Him. Well, yeah, I would say that's very hard. Very hard. In Luke 18, the guy that we refer to as the rich young ruler, he had all kinds of wealth. And he asked Jesus, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said a few things, and the guy responds with, oh, those things, I've done that since I was a child. He thought loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength was pretty easy, and that he'd been doing it. And then Jesus showed him and said to him, get rid of your wealth. And he couldn't do it. Money was tight to his heart. Other things, they were looser, maybe not so much, but money was. And when Jesus pointed it out, he realized God calls for everything to be surrendered. That's hard. That's a hard way to live. Not only is it hard in the way of giving up and obeying Jesus, there's also persecution and opposition and ridicule. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 19 to 20, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, listen, worshipers of God, listen. Therefore, the world hates you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus Christ, if they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Why do we think the world is supposed to like us? One Bible scholar put it this way: when we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, we declare war on the devil, and he declares war on us. The one whom we formerly served now becomes our great enemy, and the ideas and ways we once held dear now become our great temptations and pitfalls. The devil hates God, hates Jesus, hates you, hates me, hates this church, hates the Bible, and will do whatever he can to trick us to embrace sin, to drift away from the Bible little by little by little in really, really nice ways. Oh, I just don't feel like forgiving that person. Oh yeah, well, you should wait till you feel like forgiving, till you feel like obeying the Lord. That's good. You're just being true to yourself. Just wait till the feelings come. Because Christianity is all about feelings. Drifting. Drifting, drifting, drifting. The Lord, when He calls us to Himself, and we lay down our lives to the Lord and worship Him and surrender to Him, we are declaring war against the devil. It's just, that is the truth. And that's why only a few find eternal life. Few in the sense that, not in the sense that the gate is too narrow and heaven can't accommodate many people. Revelation 7 verse 9 says there are so many people in heaven that we can't even count them. But rather, only a few find eternal life in the sense that the narrow gate is not the popular option to the majority. It's not an attractive choice to the public. It's too narrow. It's too hard. So majority go the other way. We want the great Canadian dream. We want the great jobs. We want the nice houses. We want to play the bigger and better game. We want tons of vacations. We want nice clothes. We want nothing bad to happen to us. That's what we want. That's what we want. So saying no to ourselves and denying ourselves and being obedient to the Lord, that is not attractive. It isn't. But that's what Jesus is calling when he says, come and enter through the narrow gate. And in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Those who truly seek the Lord, who search diligently, they will find him. His narrow gate isn't a hiding and you gotta somehow in the hiddenness try to find Jesus. No, if you search for him, you will find him. And even though Jesus' way is hard, he says in Matthew 11 verse 30 that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, to me, this didn't make any sense. How can that be? It's hard and it's easy and light. How does that work together? Well, God calls us to live in obedience to him, yet it's hard to be obedient to him. It's hard not to sin. But Jesus has fully obeyed the Lord, and his obedience is accredited to us. So in Christ, we are seen as fully obedient. Plus, we are empowered to obey through the power of the Holy Spirit and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus can say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because God has covered our obedience through Jesus' obedience, and God is bringing about our obedience through the Holy Spirit empowering us and making us more like Jesus. God is ensuring our obedience. He has made us obedient and is making us obedient. Therefore, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Because God is ensuring it. God is making it happen in us. Christianity, the narrow gate, the hard road that has only a few people on it and leads to eternal life, it is all about what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. All of it, what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. The free gift of salvation. Every other option put forward is based on self-accomplishments and leads to destruction. Destruction. Verse 14, for the gate is wide, the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Wide, easy, destruction, many. It's a wide gate, no restrictions. It's easy to spot because it's popular with the world and promoted by the world. It's easy to walk through. And once you've walked through it, it's spacious. It's a road that's wide and roomy, and it's very accommodating and attractive because you can live how you want. Indulge in anything you like. Pursue whatever you like. Nothing is off limits to you. Nothing. Because you know what is best for you. You are God of your life, and you alone decide what's right and what's wrong. On this wide road, there is a lot of tolerance for any view, except, of course, for that other view, that narrow road, that Jesus way. There's no tolerance for those few people. This popular wide road has no curbs, no boundaries of thought or conduct. Follow whatever you desire, whatever is comforting and exciting and pleasing. You don't need to leave anything behind. Pride is good. Self-righteousness is good. Sin doesn't even exist, so whatever. But that wide gate, that broad, easy road leads straight to destruction. That doesn't mean extinction or annihilation, but everlasting torment, eternal punishment. Hell. Hell. Jesus used all kinds of symbols to describe hell. Constant fire, lake of fire, constantly being burned, worms don't stop eating you, complete darkness, separation from God's presence, wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth, being tormented day and night. The reality of hell is greater than these symbols can describe. And there are many on this path to hell. This road is full of people with no thought of hell. It's full of people worshiping the false gods of other religions. It's full of those rejecting God, full of really nice people who just disagree with the Bible, what the Bible says about who Jesus is. And sadly, it's full of nominal Christians, those who claim the title Christian for themselves, but have not surrendered to the Lord. People who have never come to God on His terms, His narrow way, through His narrow gate, walking on His narrow, hard road. So sad things like Matthew 7, verse 22 to 23 will happen. People coming up to God and saying, "Lord, Lord, hey, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles?" And I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." What? Why does that happen? Because claiming the Christian name doesn't save you. Following Christian principles don't save you. Jesus saves us when we repent and put our faith and trust in His life, death, and resurrection. That's when we belong to the Lord. That's when our sin has been taken care of. Not just because you're living a nice life. Church, the wide, popular, easy gate is the worst one. The narrow, unpopular, hard one is the only one. Is bigger better? No. Is the more popular the better? No. The world is leading and encouraging people to go to hell. You watch the news, you look at what's happening in our school divisions. There is a full-on campaign that has always existed to lead people to hell. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you humble and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are, then know with all certainty and confidence that it is only by Christ, through Christ, that you are saved. Yes, you're on the narrow, hard road and you sin, but you always remain the Lord's child. Those sins are covered in Christ. You are free from the slavery to sin. And one day soon, you'll fully be done with sin. I am waiting for that. I am so sick of myself and my sin. So sick of it. Praise God, I'm in Jesus Christ. You might say, hey, well, I'm not living for the devil. I'm just living for myself. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, there is no third option. There is no the narrow gate, the wide gate, and Edgar's gate. That doesn't exist. Living for yourself is entering through the wide gate and living on the wide path, which leads to destruction. There are some of us here, guaranteed, who have put on the name tag Christian, but are not worshipers of God. You're on the wide road, living for yourself, including some nice Christian principles in your life, but you're not surrendered and coming to God on His terms. It is dangerous to know this much of the gospel and think you're okay. It is dangerous. For years, the church has just said, accept Jesus into your heart and giddy up and go. What does accept Jesus into my heart mean? I don't know what that even means. We are called to come and repent, turn away from the devil, from self-worship, from self-being God, self-bosses, and turn to the Lord and repent and put our faith and trust in Him alone for the removal of our sin and making us righteous. And as a result, we will be worshiping the Lord with our lives. That's what the Lord is calling us to. Not, I'm a Christian, now I'm just going to keep living like I've always lived. That's knowing this much of the gospel and thinking that you're okay. We need to know the gospel in its fullness. If you've gone through the wide gate and are on the wide path, I'm calling you out today with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The path you're on leads to eternal hell. Eternity full of misery and full of death. That is not what you truly crave, because you were made to enjoy the Lord. So what you truly crave is the only God, not counterfeit fake gods. Turn away from being your own God. Turn to Jesus Christ. Repent. Receive His forgiveness of sin. Receive His righteousness. Be born again and begin living for the Lord, journeying here on earth for Him, enjoying Him, really living, really being alive. And when your time on earth is done, spending eternity with Him in heaven. Come today and receive Jesus Christ. Don't wait. Don't play games. Don't play games. If you don't know with certainty that you personally have repented, if you don't know that for certain, that you have turned away from you ruling your own life and turning to the Lord and confessing and admitting that you're a sinner and putting your faith and trust in Jesus in His life, death, and resurrection. If you don't know if you've ever done that, if you're not, you don't know if you're on that narrow road, have entered that narrow gate, let today be the day of salvation. Let today be the day that you know, I've entered through the narrow gate. I have entered through Jesus Christ. I have started on that narrow road of living my life in worship for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've done nothing. I've done nothing in and of myself to earn this salvation. I don't even deserve it. But it's a free gift of Jesus Christ, whom the Lord has sent to die for my sins. And his death has covered my sin, and his righteous life has covered me. And I am on that narrow, hard road leading to eternal life. And that whole way, I am accompanied by the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee that I am the Lord's. That can be every one of us today. That can be. Will it be? Will it be yours? Will it be yours? Will it be yours? I'm going to pray for us, and why don't the band come on up and get ready. We're going to have a response song after this. But I want to pray for us. Let's pray. Father, you know exactly where every one of our hearts are at this morning. And there are many of us here that are so grateful to you for saving us. We know the sin that we've done. We know that we're not deserving. We know the current sin that we're doing. And yet you look at us and you go, buddy, I've saved you. You're with me. You're in me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we have friends here that are thinking that they're fine with you. They know a little bit about Jesus in the heart. And they think they're good. Lord, we ask that your conviction would come. Holy Spirit, your conviction would come. That we would stop playing the game or being misled or thinking we're fine with you, even though we've never repented, put our faith and trust in you. Lord, I ask that today would be the day of salvation for our friends, that you would bring them to repentance, that you would bring them through the narrow gate, that they would join us on that narrow road with this incredible hope and privilege of being called your child. Father, would you come and do that in the hearts this morning? And Lord, may we be a church that always cares about the lost that are in the world, that we would never take an arrogant, prideful road because we're Christians and they're not. We live such good lives and they don't. That kind of silliness would die in us, Lord. And our hearts would be broken for the lost. We all have friends that come to our mind right now that are lost. And here they are, Lord. Bring those people to your mind. Here they are, Lord. Here are our friends. Open their eyes to your truth. Open their eyes, Lord, to the falseness that the world, to the direction that the world is leading them, that they're leading themselves. Open their eyes, Lord. Open his eyes, her eyes. Father, our hope is in you alone. In you alone. Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Bring your salvation. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.